Hello there, my name is Mike Williams, and you are listening to Comedian's Mixtape. Today's comedian is Brad Kaufman. Say hi, Brad.
Hey.
Okay, so, Brad, for the listeners out there who may not know what this show is, but I have explained it to you. Do you understand what it is?
Yes, I do.
Do you want to explain it to the listeners? Okay. Well, basically, the show is where I look at one comedian's past and find clips of them and that I like, and basically put them into a digital audio mixtape, which is how I explain it. But and basically, I will just ask questions and we will just listen to the clips. So, yeah. So, as you know, I have four clips. That I'm going to play today, and the first one is you doing stand up, and the other two is from shows that you have created, which is the Chicago's Rising Star and Farm to Table, and your podcast, which I will also play a clip from. So, but before I roll the clips, would you like to give us a little bit of background about yourself? Like, how did you get into comedy and such?
Sure. So, I live in Chicago, big comedy town. Chicago's great for comedy. Just grew up around Second City and just the Chicago comedy scene. And just one day started doing it, man. I don't know. There's really not much more of a story than that. I went to an open mic one day and then I never stopped.
This never saw you never look behind. You're right on that sit behind a desk all day.
Never look back.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. But yeah. I guess I'll play the first clip, which is of you doing stand up at an unknown place I do not know. But maybe you will know in a second. Can you hear it? What?
Yeah, I know what this is.
Service, I got the microphone handed to me and everything. Alright. Give it up for Ryan. That was fucking fun to watch you do that. Matthew is 100% undeniably himself. Or maybe not. Maybe Ryan's just boring and that was just meth or something. Maybe it was drugs. I don't know. I'm guessing it was himself. I go, oh, I'm just a collector of college. nursing house. And they go, oh, I thought you were a nurse. And I say, how rude of you to assume my profession. And then I meander away. Guys like fast food?
Sure.
Sometimes. I don't love fast food. I used to really like Burger King. Burger King's fucking up. You heard about the new sandwich, the new Burger King extra crispy chicken sandwich? Now made with 100% real all white meat chicken. That's that. All 100% real white meat chicken. They're just bragging that it's made out of the thing it's supposed to be made out of. They've totally fucking stopped trying. You can't do that. What would it have been like before?
Our chicken fries are made out of sadness and semen. And a little bit of Jorge's tears.
Well, Burger King isn't what it used to be. Because when I went to Burger King, there was a guy who looked like me behind the counter. Not that that's bad, but I don't want me cooking my food. I want Jorge cooking my food. Because he's so fucking talented and good at it. He's a hard-working... I don't have a work ethic. I'm not going to go into Burger King and be like, this is my job. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability so I get a better job. No. I'm going to go, I'm working Burger King. Fuck you. I'm better than this place. I'm here. I don't have a set. I'm just talking to you guys. That's my thing. I just talk. Glad you like that.
What?
Sorry, that was my dog.
Oh, don't worry about it. But I actually have a question. Did you hear that part about how you say that you just talk on stage and you don't have any sets or anything?
Sure. Yes.
Is that true? Like, do you just go up there and just spout random stuff that comes to mind, or do you actually, like, craft your own jokes, or what's your creative process?
Sure. So I would say out of, like, any 30-minute set, there's probably, like, 7 minutes of material, and 23 minutes is just me talking or leading into something, or that's all improvised.
Yeah. So half of it is just you actually having prepared jokes, and then the other half is just you harassing the crowd.
Kind of. Yeah, so like if I have like a tight 6 that I do, I turn that into 30 just by talking a lot about God knows what. Sometimes I don't even know, I kind of drift in and out, or I just find something to make fun of, whether it's the room or some just goofy dude in the crowd, what, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, as I have stated before, I'm not that great of a comedian or anything. I like to make jokes and such, but most of the time, my jokes kind of land me in the wrong place, because half the times I make a joke, they get me slapped, so.
Really? Like, for the
not really, that was actually just a joke.
Oh, okay,
but,
sure.
Yeah, but, no, I never got to slapped before.
My whole thing on that is, I mean, obviously don't be a dick. I mean, don't be a dick. Don't be insensitive to certain things. But I really feel that if you're coming at it from a good place, and you just always, well, whatever you say is not going to be misconstrued if it's clear that, like, your position on it, and that you're coming from a good place, man, and that you're not just there to be some asshole. If you know you're not whatever people might think you are, then don't even worry about it.
True. All right. Thanks. That's some really good advice, actually. So, I guess on with the clip. Half right there. What?
I said onward.
Yes, onward.
You're still in college?
Well, I mean, I haven't gone for
a year and a half.
Yeah, I'm going back.
Where do you go to college?
Oh, like Triton.
All day.
Cool.
I feel like we get real drunk and skip class and then just try and combine the
moves. I mean, the last 2 years, so we get what we get.
Yeah. cocoa butter every day. There's a story behind this, actually. Growing up, I didn't know this, but a lot of black people use cocoa butter on their body. Yeah, they do. And it smells amazing. Now, up to the age of 15, I didn't know cocoa butter was a thing. I just thought all black people smelled amazing. Until one day, I was walking through the aisles of Target, I'm in the cocoa butter aisle, unbeknownst to me, and I look around. I'm alone. Do I smell amazing? And then I learned what cocoa butter is, and every day after that, I lather sufficiently, and I stay well lotioned. Are you all in college? No, you're not. Ish? You're all ish in college? Yeah. Some of you should be. Fuck, I should be too. Why not?
This is a very small stool I'm going to sit on.
Yeah, that's
fine.
I'm 27, drinking on a Wednesday night. I'm also in college. When I was in college, I went to every school in St. Paul, Minnesota, and all of my friends were black. Because the school was like 95, it was a music school, and everybody was there for like rap. Like, they wanted to be a rap producer, and I played guitar. And I was like, ooh, I'll go to music school. And it ended up being great. Why is he coming? His college friends are black. Does he want us to think he's cool? No, there's a point to this story. I was terrible at picking up women. I was terrible at it. So bad. Like, in high school, like, I had one girlfriend for, like, 3 years, and she cheated on me. It was like, it's okay. Like, I was just bad. And all my friends were, like, great at it in college. Like, these people, like, ooh, sex. Like, they all, like, had dreads and, like, had fashion sense. Like, women, like, flock to them. And they would give me advice on picking up women. But it doesn't translate over to me, the advice they give me. They'd be like, Brad, you let a bitch get into your apartment. You gotta fuck her. You say, you pull out your dick, and you say, I'm gonna fuck the shit out of you. Now, when Molly says it, it sounds fucking cool. I don't know. But when I say it, it almost sounds like you should call the police. Because I'm nervous. I'm going, we're going to fuck. We are going to fuck. I can't let you leave. My friend, he told me not to let you leave. I can't let you leave. It's fucking, it seemed to translate over. Wow, just weird stories I'm remembering.
Oh, okay, so my big question right here is that story actually true?
Maybe. I don't even remember. Maybe that's an old clip.
Yeah.
Maybe like 70% true.
Oh, God.
The people in it are real, and what they told me was real, but I don't think I ever.
Okay, because, like, that would concern me up to a point, because I'm like, that sounds a little bit rapey to me, because I'd be like, nah, I wouldn't go with that advice, but yeah.
No,
I don't think I said that.
At least I hope I
didn't.
Who knows? It was fucking stupid, but, yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering about that, so. Onward.
What does that mean?
What is your man?
Oh, that's my light? You just flicker the light? What is this setting here? Is it supposed to be Chicago? Is that the town of Hancock? That's a serious power?
And there's a bunch of people cutting wood.
Okay. I'm a big fan of cutting wood.
Me too.
Dude, I love cutting wood. Me, at once I decided I was going to get real into wood cutting. Now I'm Jewish, and that's a bad idea. Because Jews are bad carpenters. See, people always say that when I say that, but is there anything in the Bible about, like, his dressers or his bookshelves? Is there anything about his woodworking skills? Does it say Jesus turned water into wine and he was a master at carving oak into dressers? Does it say that? I don't think so. so I was like, bam, I was like, okay. So I'm using retarded, and this girl comes up to me after my set, very angry. She said, please don't use the R word again. I was like, first of all, I was confused. What's the R word? Don't use the R word. And they said, okay. Then figured it out, and I said the worst thing you could possibly say to somebody after she told me that her sister has Down syndrome, and it really hurts her feelings. I said, well, to be fair, I was in remedial math in high school, so I kind of feel like it's my word. I feel like I've earned the right to use it. It's one of my good friends' girlfriends. I don't like really talk anymore. But it's okay. All right, thanks so much, guys. It's a fun show.
Okay, the first clip is over. So, in retrospect, what did you think of it from, since you said it was an old clip, what do you think of it from now? Like, compared to...
Oh, I hate it.
What?
I hate it.
Yeah, how do you... Why do you hate it?
I don't even know why. I mean, honestly, if it's not something that I did, like, this month, I probably am gonna hate it.
Oh, my
God. No matter what it's from. Just because, like, when you do stand-up every day, your act changes, you find new things you want to say, new things you know, and then you just listen to old stuff and you go, what the hell was I doing? What was I thinking? You know? And it's just one of those.
Just one of the, what the heck was happening then? But yeah. Okay, so the second clip I'm going to play is from your show, Chicago Rising Star. And as I read from your website, it said that you founded that show. Like, so can you please tell me, like, why you founded the show and such? Like,
sure. I mean, when I was first starting out, a lot of the only way I could get stage time outside of, like, open mics was to produce shows. So I started producing a lot of shows so I could get more stage time. This one actually came about a little bit later, but I ended up getting an opportunity to produce a show at this, it's like a cabaret room, and, I took it, man, and, can you pause it real quick?
Sure.
Sorry.
Well, okay, everything should be good by now, right now, so. You were talking about the Chicago Rising Star thing, and how you, like, why you founded it and such.
Oh, I just got an opportunity to basically produce the room, and, I mean, when you're trying to get booked and doing stand-up, producing is just a great way to network and meet people, and get exposed to a lot of new people, and a lot of people who may be not on your level. Be like more advanced than you can like get interaction time with them, get to meet them, they can see you, or it may have taken like years for you to be on a show with them where they could see you potentially. So it's just good to produce, man. Producing shows is definitely a good thing to do.
Yeah. So what was the fish show you produced?
What show?
What was the fish show you produced? Because you said this was a later show, and so I was wondering, what was the first show you actually produced?
I produced a bunch of shows at Second City in their, I don't know what it's called, in one of their theaters, but I started producing shows there. I mean, I've probably done like 12 or 13 shows there, and I mean, I'm in them too, but I also produced them, and just went from there. And this was happened to be one of the stand-up shows that I was actually originally going to do there until I found this location, and I ended up doing it at this club called Davenport's in Chicago.
Nice. Okay. So, and, so, can you, like, explain to me and the audience what exactly is Chicago Rising Star, and where they can find information about it if they want to visit?
Chicago Rising Stars is a monthly showcase of the best comics in Chicago and people who
time, so I'm going to play a clip from Chicago's Rising story right now. Wow.
And it's very helpful to know, like, how many people until it's over. So, just so you're aware, you're going to be here for about an hour, okay? Just so that helps. Because what the worst thing is the unknown, like, not knowing how long you're going to be somewhere. Like, even if I'm in a great movie, it's like, I will look up the running time. Okay, 40 more minutes is the perfect amount of time to continue watching Mark Wahlberg. You know, like, it's just the perfect amount of time. Any more is too much. Like, don't you wish when you went to the DMV, they were like, sure, you'll be here for an hour and 42 minutes. It's a long time, but I know. Well, like I said, thank you all for coming. You guys are great. What's going on with me? You guys want to know what's going on with me, don't you? Why don't you? I got a dog recently. Any dog lovers? You guys look like fun, and you're right up front. What is your name?
Jessica.
Kevin, you look like some nice people. You guys dating?
Brittany and
Brendan. Hang on, we got everybody's name. Brittany, Brendan. Are you guys dating?
Yes.
How long have you been dating?
3 months. Oh, young love. 3-4 months.
I feel like
That's like the magical place in dating. You're still holding in your farts and... No, he's not. Good for you.
I am.
Oh, you are? Okay, good. I feel like all relationships should end at, like, 6 months. Because that's when shit gets fucked up, right? Like, at 6 months, like, you're going to stop holding in your farts. And you're going to reveal that you have some deep-seated anger issues. And, like, just move on to other people, I think. I've been in a relationship for... like 4 years, and we've worked through that, but at the same time, like, the beginning part's the fun part.
We're enjoying it.
Yeah, you guys having sex yet? I'm just kidding. What are you? I was sick, I got a dog earlier, and I love having a dog. Transitions. I love having a dog. There's nothing better than having, like, I love my dog. The only thing I don't like about having a dog is that grown men turn into fucking idiots around my dog. Like, the other day, I'm walking my dog, and I'm crossing the street. Like, I'm crossing the street. There are 10 seconds left on my little walk hand. And this man comes up to me and goes, turn left! What? Turn left! What the fuck are you saying? Left, turn left? No, it's a fucking pit bull. What do you want? He's like, oh, when I was a little boy, I had a chocolate lab. He was great. His name was Biscuit. We got him when I was 7. I don't care. I'm crossing the street. I have somewhere to be, clearly. And now my dog's shitting in the middle of the street, which is very empowering. Because you just stand there and you go, you will wait another cycle because this little guy has to poop. If it's you standing there, people hate you. But when it's your dog, they're like, well, what can he do? What can I do? I can't do anything. What do you do for a living?
TSA.
TSA?
Oh, shit.
We all hate you. We all hate you. TSA, according to your 3-month girlfriend. She didn't want you to say that. She said, if he asks you what you do for a living, lie. Pick something boring like accountant. But one of the reasons I decided to get into comedy is because... transition. I didn't feel I was cutting it in the corporate world, mainly because I don't know what the fuck anybody does anymore. It used to be so simple. It was like, what do you do? Oh, I'm a salesman. Okay, you sell shit. I know what you do. What do you do? I work at a gas station. That fucking sucks. But I know what you do. What do you do? I'm a drug dealer. Give me your number. We'll talk. We're going to talk this through later. And exchange some goods and services. But now you ask somebody what they do, and it's like, I'm a junior account executive and project manager for Salesforce. Okay? So what do you do? Well, I'm in charge of all incoming calls. I take everything and prep the documents and send them over to the junior vice presidents to be signed. Then I bring those back over to HR, turn all the L3s to the L4s, and I handle all incoming calls related to Cat Stevens. Sum it up in a sentence. I have the one sentence rule. If you can sum up what you do in a sentence, you know what you do.
If you can't, you either don't, or you just want a blowjob. Like, you just want to talk and tell me how good your job is. Like, as a comedian, I could either say, I tell jokes. One sentence. I don't even know if it's a sentence. That might be a fragment. How simple is that, though? Or I could say, well, I take daily observations, and based on point of view and strong character choices, turn those into jokes. Now, if you listen to any comedy theory or, like, listen to Patton Oswalt, you may know that there's only five jokes. So we're all telling the same five jokes in different manners based on our own uniqueness and own personal experience. Then we workshop those into open mics and showcases and go to 5, 7, to 10, to 12, 15, 30-minute set, or a 60-minute set if you're lucky. And we tell it every time like it's the first time we've told it, even though it's 376th time we've told it. But I don't have to say that because what fucking idiot doesn't know what a comedian does? If you don't know what a comedian does, you're probably an ISIS. That's the vetting process right there. Fuck Donald Trump's ban. I have a vetting process. Mohammed, what do you do? I'm sorry, Mohammed, do you know what a comedian does? I don't care what Mohammed does. You know what a comedian does? Yes, he tells jokes. Very good. Have fun in Disney World. Like, vetting process right there. All right, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to bring up your first comment.
Okay, so that clip has ended, but what did you think compared to the last clip this was? Was this so garbage, or?
I hated it. I just hated it less, probably because it's more recent. I still hated it,
okay. Well, yeah.
I bet when you interview people down the road, most people are going to hate whatever they're listening to. Just unless it's like a super new thing, because so much has changed, man. So many more sets, so many new jokes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe after like 10 years, I'll listen to something and go, I like it, but I don't think anytime soon.
Yeah, just while you're busy thinking of new stuff, you're like, this stuff is better than the old stuff, so yeah.
Right.
Okay, so now, clip that I'm going to play is from Farm to Table, which is another show that you created. And it sounds like a dinner kind of show, like a dinner theater kind of thing. Like,
sort of. So Farm to Table is an improv sketch that I run at the theater in Second City. I think it's in the Beat Lounge or the Skybox, actually. But yeah, it's like a. It's not so much. It's just like, if you've ever been to Second City, you know what it is. It's just breaks, and it's definitely a theater. I wouldn't call it a dinner.
Right.
But a theater.
So, now, what inspired you to do this? Was this just another way to get money and gigs and such?
Stage time.
Yeah.
Just trying to get stage time, trying to get in front of audiences. It's a bigger theater than I should have been at the time, so I was able to produce a show and be in it. And just for stage time, really, man. Stage time.
Oh, damn.
I have loved spending this evening with you.
Me too. That helicopter ride was so romantic. And now this beautiful candlelit dinner. Oh my gosh, Barry, look, it's a date card. What does it say?
Dear Barry and Jill, please use these individual room keys. If you decide to forego your room, you can spend the night in a beautiful and timeless fantasy suite.
What a surprise.
Hello, Chris Harrison.
You are so hot. I can't wait a minute longer. Let's go.
Oh, I just want our first night together to be perfect. Oh, okay.
Barry, this one's for your eyes only.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Congratulations on making it to the beautiful and timeless fantasy suite. Time is of the essence. Now let's speed up those relationship milestones. Without further ado, you are invited to poop with the door open.
What? No. No.
P.S. If you do not comply with bachelorette rules and regulations, you will be framed as the villain. Love, Chris Harrison.
Did you say something, Barry?
Oh, nothing, dear. Okay, Jill, I have the crackers and we are ready to what?
I'm so embarrassed. He's making me so evil.
Oh, no. Come here. Don't cry. I had Looney Tunes pajamas once, too.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't wear them anymore.
Oh.
Hey, Jill, I love you. There's nothing Chris Harrison can do that can break us. God damn it!
Doth read it, how bad can it be?
In the dark.
Dear Barry and Jill, congratulations on passing your second relationship milestone. You are now the bachelorette equivalent of a 6-month relationship. Without further ado, you're invited to the bedroom of the fantasy suite. Only one test here. Your bed is an IKEA box, it must be assembled together.
Not gonna be so bad.
I know.
God damn it!
No, you're wrong. That piece goes into this piece, and what the fuck does mall mean anyway?
You see witch! The picture on a different language! But fine, I'll put it where you want it.
Thank you.
Chris Harrison, you son of a
bitch. You've done it, Barry and Jill. You've won.
What do you mean?
You've passed all of our tests and are now the bachelorette equivalent of an engaged couple. Congratulations.
What? But how?
Well, you pooped together. You cried together. You wore retainers in front of each other. You cried again. And you assembled furniture. And I can see through it all that you two still love one another. Enjoy the fantasy suite. I'll leave you two alone now. No more on.
We can finally express our love for one another in a network primetime television way.
It's gonna be so wild.
But first, I need to use the bathroom.
Okay, now just remember to close the door. God damn it, Barry!
And Sully comes another true story of a modern American hero who changed our lives forever. Tom Hanks is Harambe.
why did you start your podcast, and would you want to explain exactly what your podcast is?
Sure. So my podcast is called Comedy Jism, and it's just, man, it's just me rambling for usually 20 to 40 minutes an episode, and sometimes I have guests, usually I don't. It's usually actually me in traffic, just getting out a bunch of thoughts, started taking off a little bit. That's pretty much the whole story behind it. There's no story about why I did it or how come. It's because it's fun to do.
Yeah. I was looking at your website when you first contacted me, and when I saw your podcast, I just looked at it, and I'm like, what is the name of it? And it was, I read Comedy Jism, I'm like, this sounds like I have to, like, be 18 and over, and no kids should listen to it, because, oh my gosh, I'm like, what? And I listen to it, I'm like, okay, it's just him looking at
stuff. Yeah, there's no
in it. Yeah, thank you. Thankfully, yeah.
It's just like random. This is not why I named it. But an interesting fact that I watched the Ted Burns documentary. The word jazz actually comes from the word jizz, because they used to play jazz in all the whorehouses before it became a thing.
Oh my God.
So it's just like improvised comedy. It's just talking off the whatever pops into your head.
Yeah.
What's going on? We're back with another week of Comedy Jism. It's March 2nd, everybody. It's March 2nd. It's Thursday. I'm a day late. I know. I slept on you guys. But we're here. We're doing it. And I'm by myself this week again. I'm pretty happy about it. I don't have to talk to anybody. I'm sick of fucking talking to people. Very sick of talking to people. You know, it's just, don't want to talk to anybody. Everybody wants to talk to me about politics, too. Everybody tries and talk about politics. I couldn't give a shit. There is so much goddamn noise out there with everybody talking. I try and keep myself as ignorant as possible, actually. That's part of what I'm trying to do. Like, up until yesterday, I thought Jeff Sessions was a group of meetings being had called Jeff. I thought they were the Jeff Sessions. I didn't know. Now that I found that out, what am I supposed to do with that information? Everybody wants me to call your congressman. I don't want to call anybody. I don't have to. I don't want to go protest. I don't want to call anybody. Oh, this fucking video. So Jaden Smith has a video out of him. It's a Vanity Fair video, and on the bottom, it's just facts being read and him reacting to them. Here, I'm going to watch. Close up on his face. My whole life has been a lie. Human skin completely replaces itself 900 times, and he's fascinated with his hand. He's going, oh, let me touch my nose. Oh. You were once the youngest person in existence. He's shaking his head. Can't fucking believe it. What the fuck is up with this guy? This is one of these people who just do shit and everybody's like, it's art. You know what? Anything can be art. I could shit on your doorstep. And if I was Jaden Smith, you'd go, keep it there. It'll be worth a lot of money. That's what art is, actually. It's something that might be worth a lot of money one day. Nobody gives a fuck about the art. They go, that might be worth a lot of money one day. It's Jaden Smith's poop. Don't touch it. It could be worth a lot of money one day. And you know what? It might be. I wouldn't touch it. I'd put it in a bag. Put it on eBay. See if I can get $300,000 for it. If not, I'm putting it in the freezer for 10 years. I'd have to get a separate freezer. Like a mini fridge freezer. I don't know if poop could store in a fridge. Do they sell mini freezers? You hear a lot about the mini fridge. You don't hear a lot about the mini freezer. Gotta stop by Pequod's. Everybody keeps telling me to go to Pequod's for pizza. I've literally had every pizza place in Chicago. Hands down, Lou Malnati's is my favorite. But everybody says you gotta go to Pequod's. I almost don't want to go because everybody keeps telling me I gotta go. I hate that. They build it up for me and it's a letdown. Like last week when I went to, where'd I go? Parsons Chicken. It was good, but it wasn't as good as everybody said it was. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like Katz's Deli. Katz's Deli was good, but it wasn't great. I've had better deli here in Chicago. We gotta go to New York, get the deli. And when you go to New York, everybody in Chicago is like, New Yorkers are so rude, you gotta watch out. People were way nicer in New York. Just being honest with you, they were way nicer. People in Chicago are dicks compared to New York. I'm in line at a deli in New York trying to get a bagel. This guy is talking to me. He's like he knows me. Oh, I used to come here when I was a kid with my father. I don't give a shit. Unless we have something mutual to hate, or you have like a direct question for me. Like if I know the deli, ask me, what's the best thing on the menu? I'll fucking tell you. Everything bagel, chive cream cheese, lox, tomato, cucumber, maybe smear a chopped liver here or there. I don't know. Or be like, Javier over here is fucking up all the bagels. I'll be like, fuck yeah he is. Fuck Javier. I hope he doesn't cook my bagel. Don't cook a bagel. Prepare a bagel. But you know what I mean? Like, those are the two instances. If not, don't fucking talk to me. In New York, everybody wanted to talk to me. It's different. I actually thought people were friendlier there. My guard was down, too, because I wasn't here, and I wasn't like, I can't talk to you. So I was talking to all the people. All the people. Jesus loves the little people. What if that's how the song went and Jesus just, people started praying that their children would be little people so Jesus would love them more. Jesus loves.
For being on the show. Sorry about all the technical stuff that happening. Do you want to give everyone your social media details, your Twitter and such, and your website?
Sure. You can see what I'm performing at my website, bradkaufman.com. All my shows are there. I got clips. My podcast is on there. My podcast, as you mentioned, is Comedy Jism. It's at the iTunes store. Probably some other places. I don't know about the iTunes store for podcasts, but I've been told it's elsewhere. And just follow me on Facebook, man, Brad Kaufman. And most of my other stuff's Comedy Jism. Twitter's Comedy Jism. Instagram's Comedy Jism. Just a whole lot of jism, buddy.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you again. Bye. And all his, for the audience, all his social media stuff, and my social media stuff, once I get it all up and running, will be in the show notes. So look in there. But thank you again. Have a nice day. Well, evening.
Thanks, you too.
Bye.